So the disciples returned to Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And they went back to that upper room that they seemed to have spent so much time in lately. And they were all there. Acts says it was Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. There, in that upper room, gathered together, they were all of one accord, devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And it's quite possible there were a number of other disciples gathered there too, disciples whose names have gotten lost in the course of history. You know, that's a big old crowd hanging out together in that upper room that day. Makes me wonder what it must have felt like to be gathered there. I mean, Acts tells us that they were devoting themselves to prayer, so I suppose there must have been a little bit of hopefulness in the air. But I can't help but think that some of that devotion might have been just a little half-hearted, as their habit of this living out of a mindset of scarcity and fear continued to battle with the example of living out of abundance that Jesus had shown them. And if you think about it, they really had suffered kind of disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. You know, Jesus gets them all riled up and calls them to come and follow him. And so for 3 years, they get to walk with him, only to watch him die. So they think it's over. But then the miracle of resurrection happens, and so he's come back to life, and he walks with them again for 40 more days, only to abandon them at the ascension. Or at least that's probably how it felt like to them. I think if you would have asked those disciples on this day of Pentecost earlier in the day, they would have told you that nothing had worked out in their lives the way they had expected. So maybe that room was full of a little bit of hopefulness, but maybe some half-heartedness. But oh, how the atmosphere in that room must have lit up like lightning, with the Holy Spirit rushing into the room, Acts says, with the sound of a violent wind. I can just hear the windows rattling, and the candles that were lit in there must have been snuffed out by the wind as it came by. But that light was replaced by these tongues of fire as they came down from heaven. And in a flash, God's promise, the one that Jesus gave them just before he ascended, it's fulfilled as the Spirit is given to all believers as they are baptized, not with water, but with fire and with divine power. So the gift of that Holy Spirit is not just something to be kept in that upper room where all those folks were gathered together. The gift of the Holy Spirit was not meant for them just to enjoy amongst each other. But rather, the power of the Spirit explodes from that room, drawing the attention of curious outside onlookers. And inquiring minds want to know just what is going on in that room with those people up there. These days, we tend to think of the Holy Spirit as sort of the shy member of the Trinity. Not terribly flashy, doesn't get a lot of attention. But the birth of the church and its worldwide mission of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth is anything but meek and mild in this passage. Instead, it begins with a grand flourish as the Holy Spirit begins to activate the gifts that our passage from 1 Corinthians tells us are given to each one of the believers. Not for their own personal amusement or edification, but so that they may be activated as Christ's witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. So in those moments on that day of Pentecost, with the wind rushing and the windows rattling and the flames descending, and in the days and the months and the years to follow, one writer I read this week said, the disciples experienced in unmistakable ways the promised outpouring of the Spirit. God the Father pours out the Spirit on these believers to empower the church to advance Christ's mission to the very ends of the earth, to preach God's word and to be understood even in languages they don't know. These disciples on this Pentecost day are transformed in unmistakable ways. Now, in the Spirit, the disciples and the believers are transformed from this bumbling bunch of buffoons that we read all about in the Gospels, and they are turned into bold preachers and teachers and healers. They didn't just wake up one day and decide to get serious about this Jesus business. It's the Holy Spirit working in them. And the book of Acts tells this astonishing story of their transformation, which you will see firsthand in a sermon series I'm cooking up for you this summer. It's hard to believe that the disciples of the book of Acts are the same ones we read about in the Gospels. But that's the power of the Spirit to transform. So as we continue to read in Acts, we see that the Spirit empowers many signs and wonders, miracles of healing, crazy economic sharing amongst the community, and a deeply rootedness and sense of being church together, not individually. The Spirit gives the first disciples courage in the face of threats and even martyrdom and dying for their faith. The Spirit falls upon believers who are outside of the faith and confirms for Peter and for the other disciples the expansion of the gospel beyond where they thought it would go into the Gentile world. The Spirit guides the missionary decisions of the disciples, commissioning them to travel, to go to the farthest ends of the earth, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. The transformation of who they were and to who they became is amazing and remarkable. And the fruits produced by their acts of faith and obedience are unmistakable ways that the Spirit is alive and at work in each and every one of them. But it's helpful for us to remember that the fruit is not really theirs, but rather it is produced by the power of the Spirit working through them. So if you think about it, the transformation that happened to the disciples all those years ago is still the very same kind of transformation that happens still today when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of someone. I've seen it happen time and again. I've seen it happen here in this church. I have seen it happen in your life. You have been transformed, just like those first disciples. And so today, on Pentecost, the day that kind of started it all, this is our chance to celebrate these unmistakable ways God is working in your life through the Holy Spirit, which has been poured out in you. So here's how we're going to do it. Just through those doors, right over there, you will see 9 feet of whiteboard and a colorful variety of markers that are there. So after the service today, no need to get up and interrupt things now, after the service today, you are encouraged to walk through those doors and write down one unmistakable way you have seen the Spirit poured out in your life and active in you. Now, you can do more than one, but start with one. So, one unmistakable way that God has transformed or is transforming you. So, probably some of you already can think of six things you want to add, and some people are standing there with a blank. So, if you've got a blank, let me give you some suggestions. You could think of just one word, or maybe a phrase, a couple of words, that kind of describes God's transformation in your life. You could write down a gift you think that God has given you through the Holy Spirit. If there's a scripture passage that's particularly meaningful, you could write the reference, or if you have it memorized, you could write the whole verse. If there is a particular place that has meaning to you, where something significant happened, write the name of the place. If you're more of an artist and you prefer pictures to words, draw a picture. Draw a map. You could write the name of a person, like a mentor, a spiritual mentor, who God has used in your story of transformation. Maybe there's somebody who's really made an impact on you. Write their name down. Or if you think that there is someone that God is using you to help transform, write their name down too. There's no right or wrong answers for this little adventure. This is just a chance for you to reflect on your life a little bit and to name the ways that you see God at work in your life. The unmistakable ways that the Holy Spirit has been poured out in your life. Thinking back to that upper room on that day of Pentecost, once the Holy Spirit got a hold of them, it must have been electric. In fact, it was so electric that Peter of all people, stands up and he preaches the first sermon as his way of being a witness. And evidently it went pretty well, because 3,000 people who were gathered there that day repented and believed. Remember, this is Peter, the big mouth blurter who just sort of says what comes into his mind. But now, after having received the gift of the Holy Spirit, he has been transformed into an eloquent and apparently very convicting preacher. Quite the coup by the Holy Spirit, if you ask me. So the Spirit has been poured out in unmistakable ways in their lives, and through them into the life of the church. And that Spirit continues to be poured out on us today and in the life that we share together in this church, in this place. We too have been transformed. Every time we walk through these doors, we walk out a different person, because we have been in the presence of God, and we are not the same. So just as Christ called the disciples to be a part of his witnesses to the ends of the earth, so too are we sent out to be his witnesses. And sometimes that sounds like a big and scary thing. But sometimes that kind of witnessing starts with something as small as writing something on a piece of whiteboard. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.